I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Can't tell you what a thrill it is for me to have you in my studio, David Steinberg. Oh. My favorite talk show host.
Oh, thank you very much.
I really mean it. I just wait for Johnny Merv or Dick to get sick so I can see you.
You're very kind.
You know, we have a love in common. We both like old radio theme songs.
Oh, do you like the radio songs?
Yeah. Who's that little chatterbox?
The one with pretty auburn locks.
Who can it be? It's little Orphan Annie.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subjects today will be Showtime's Inside Comedy and the launch of the Cinemoi TV channel. Host of Inside Comedy, David Steinberg, and president of the Cinemoi channel, Daphna Zeiman, will join us for a fascinating excursion exploring both the world of comedy and world-class entertainment. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we examine the ins and outs of modern day and classic comedy as we shine a spotlight on Showtime Television's interview series, Inside Comedy. In this edition of our program, we are proud to welcome comedy legend David Steinberg, producer, director, and host of Inside Comedy. Mr. Steinberg's remarkable comedy career spans nearly five decades on such shows as the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, The David Steinberg Show, and acclaimed director on such programs as Newhart and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Over the next segment, David Steinberg will help us explore virtually every aspect of his Showtime TV series Inside Comedy while discussing what it's like to go inside the minds of such classic comedians as Jerry Seinfeld and Don Rickles. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to get the inside scoop on Inside Comedy, feel free to heckle us incessantly as we pratfall away from the past and stand up after a punchlined present. David, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thank you.
David, you currently host, produce, and direct Inside Comedy, which airs Mondays at 11 p.m. on Showtime. What was the genesis of Inside Comedy?
Well, Inside Comedy is a show that I executive produced with Steve Carell. And we started this as a documentary film. We thought we'd just... Steve and Carousel is his company, and they approached me and they said, you know, why don't we just document everyone in comedy and how they're thinking and all of that? And so that's a great idea. And we were at Warner Brothers at the time, and Warner Brothers gave us some restrictions, and I thought, no, maybe we should raise our own money. We raised our own money for it and set out to interview everyone. And as we started to call people, everyone just said yes. And I got to interview so many people, long interviews, 40 minutes, an hour, some of them. They were just so great. And then we looked at it, and then Steve and I and partners involved looked at it, and they said, well, you know, if we do this as a film, then Larry David will be on for 2 minutes, Seinfeld for 4 minutes, you know, because there was just so many people. So then Steve said to me, could we do this as a series? I said, I've never seen a documentary comedy series, but why not? And given that we had invested our own money, raised our own money, I sat down for almost 8 months, put together a sizzle reel pilot, and we started to travel around. Showtime just saw an announcement of it, and David Nevins called me, who runs Showtime, and said, please come to us first. We went, we showed him our pilot, and before we got out of the parking lot, they made us an offer.
Now, is going on location for your interviews, when you do that, a plus for you and your guests? Do you find that to be the case?
In what way? What do you mean? Like, are they more comfortable?
Right. Are they more comfortable in that kind of surrounding as opposed to in a studio setting?
The guest chooses the surrounding, and then we sort of decide whether it's going to work from a production design point of view. But some of them are done in a hotel. Some of them are done at their houses. Some of them are done at our offices. It's eclectic and all over the place. So we create the most interesting environment. Some are done in a studio. So the laughter that you hear is literally just our crew,
right,
and people involved in the show and nothing else.
Now, what can people expect to see on Inside Comedy this season, and who are some of the comedians who appeared on your show last season?
Well, it's not just comedians, it's comic actors and
right,
comedians, but the first show is Louis C.K. and Bob Newhart, and, you know, they're together as a show, but they're not together ever in the interview. So I'll interview Bob Newhart, I'll interview Louis C.K.,
right,
and it goes back and forth by a certain kind of rhythm, things that they have in common, things that they don't have in common, and it goes back and forth that way. The advantage of being on a network like Showtime and a cable network is, even though the show debuts every Monday at 11 o'clock at night, they rerun it all during the week, so it's always available for people to see. So Louis C.K., Bob Newhart were together. We like the idea of a younger person with an older person. The show that's on this week is Will Ferrell and Betty White, Ben Stiller, Mike Myers,
wow,
Robert Klein, and Bill Maher, and just the Carol Burnett and Susie Essman. It's just an incredible group of people, actually.
Now, are there any ground rules when you find yourself interviewing friends of yours, your friends, people who you know,
yeah,
very, very well?
Yeah, I have one rule, and that is don't prepare anything.
Right.
I mean, the rule is sort of founded in my innate laziness, but it's also because if you trust it, you do get a spontaneous interview, and I think that's what the audience responds to. They really see two people talking to each other, and it's not edited to within an inch of its life, and it's not very, you know, we call it inside comedy, but the goal is to not make it that much inside comedy. It's,
right,
it's mostly how did they get to here? Who were they influenced by? How did their parents treat them? Just it goes all over the place, and every interview is totally unique from every other one, every single one, actually.
You know, among the legendary comedians long since passed, who would you love to interview if they were still around today?
Well, I wrote a play about the Marx Brothers and got to hang out with Groucho Marx, and he was nonstop amazing and funny all the time. I certainly would love to be interviewing W.C. Fields. He'd be, like, incredible. Lenny Bruce would be great to talk to. Richie Pryor, who was a friend of mine, who I knew real well, would wish he were around. You know, they're the people who are gone, they'd just be amazing.
Growing up, and when you started your career, were there comedians at the time that inspired you?
Well, they'd be obscure to an American audience because I grew up in Canada, but I listened to radio because television came much later to Canada than it did to the States. So I grew up, you know, even as a teenager, just listening to the radio. But Wayne and Schuster were very popular,
oh, yeah,
Canadian stars,
mm-hmm,
and I was aware of them. But I did hear the radio shows coming in from the States, and that would be Jack Benny and Burns and Allen. And we got all those shows much, much later in Canada than the States did. And And those were influences on me. And of course, Martin and Lewis, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, I would go to see all the comedy movies and Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. And, you know, I was like 10, 12, and they were, I didn't know that there was a craft. I didn't know that there was a director. I didn't know anything other than, wow, these people just make me laugh, and I liked it.
Now, last season on Inside Comedy, you interviewed Jerry Seinfeld and Don Rickles. You included those in the same show.
Yep.
What was your experience interviewing them, and do they share anything in common besides being funny?
A lot in common. They, in fact, they're only together, Jim, because they have something in common. Well, first of all, I interviewed Don Rickles first here in Los Angeles, and then I interviewed Jerry Seinfeld about 4 months later in the Hamptons. And, you know, and I know them both well. They're both good friends of mine. I directed both of them in both of their shows. Rickles was very, you know, funny with me and talking about how I have no range and that's why I do this. And, you know, just vintage Rickles.
Right.
4 months later, and then in the Rickles interview, he said to me, what was the most important thing that you did for yourself? What do you remember more than anything else? And he said, I remember performing for Ronald Reagan at a special event, and that was it, to perform for the President of the United States. And so 4 months later, I interview Jerry, and he starts, you know, we know each other. So, David, I know you've got something up your sleeve, but before you say anything, I just want you to know that Chris Rock and I saw Rickles last night in New York, and if there is any white light in comedy shining from anyone, it is Rickles. He was amazing. We couldn't get over, not just for his age, the energy, the style, the way he worked the audience. So that was 4 months later. When I heard Jerry say that, there was no way in my mind that I wasn't going to put them together, just from that alone, because it goes back and forth between them. Then when I asked, I said, Jerry, you know, what are the challenges left for you? He said, well, I did one very big challenge, and that was appearing at the White House with Paul McCartney for a tribute to Paul McCartney, and Barack Obama was president and was in the White House. And so you had those two things in common. That's enough, but going back and forth, it turned out to be one of our favorite shows.
What do you attribute Don Rickles' incredible longevity?
Well, he started in the lounges in Las Vegas, where he did five shows a night, starting from 12 o'clock at night to whatever in the morning. When you have that, it's like an athlete being in shape. When you do that, people asleep, people wanting to gamble, no one listening to you, you develop a style that can make you last forever. No one could do it. I mean, it's not like it's that easy and anyone could do it. But just all that working in front of an audience, never not being in front of an audience when you're starting out in Las Vegas, that starts to give you the thick skin you need, and it starts to really hone your instincts.
My last question for you, I've always wondered about this, hecklers. How do you deal with hecklers, and do you remember the toughest heckler you ever had to deal with?
Hecklers are a myth that I don't know who perpetrated. It might have started in vaudeville. A heckler is not a negative presence against you. It's usually a drunk trying to help you.
Okay.
Go on, David. We want to hear more. They don't realize they're throwing off your rhythm. So once you accept the fact that this isn't an enemy, this isn't like the kid that beat you up in high school, but someone who loves you, you could deal with them a little bit better. But, yeah, when I would do my political stuff during Watergate, I could alienate people a little bit. Once or twice, someone would huff out and let me know that they were leaving. And you have to do you. It's not a popularity contest to be a stand-up comedian ultimately it is, but to get there, you can't just try to win over everybody. You have to go by what your own point of view tells you is funny and what you want to be saying.
David, where can people find out more about yourself online and more about Inside Comedy?
Well, I have a website called thedavidsteinberg.com. It's not that I'm bragging, it's just that there are a lot of David Steinbergs out there.
Right.
So thedavidsteinberg.com is one way to find out about me, and a good way, actually, and that could lead you to almost everything else that's out there on the Internet.
Inside Comedy, hosted by our guest David Steinberg, airs Mondays at 11 p.m. on Showtime. David, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
Stay tuned for our interview with Daphna Zeiman, president of the Cinema Channel, right here on the TV Time Machine.